Being human, do you ever wonder what makes us who we are? Our habits, preferences, or where we came from? We are expressing ourselves in thousands of ways every day through our choices. Let's have a conversation with people who are having interesting lives. My name is Alan Walker. I'm a doctor of chiropractic and a human being. A very warm welcome to Chiropractic Revolution, a podcast where I'm interviewing very, very successful chiropractors. And we have a senior chiropractor with us today, a good friend of mine who I've known now for several years, someone who also studied at the same university as me, and he's got a very interesting story to tell, someone who lives in the town of Abingdon. So I want to welcome Austin Lawrence to the podcast. Austin, very warm welcome to you. I wonder whether you can start off by just explaining a little bit about yourself and where you've come from and about your experience of chiropractic, how you originally saw it, what made you want to become a chiropractor, and most importantly, how you've got to where you are today and where you're working, and what's the philosophy and the ideas and that you want to put into chiropractic, and how you want to actually help the profession itself.
Okay, so my journey into it is very long-winded, so as you know, so I'm going to give the Cliff Notes version, otherwise this would probably be a three-hour podcast. So they say that you don't choose chiropractic, it chooses you. I think that's true in my case. I remember my dad was on the committee of a social club in Headington in Oxford, where I'm from, and to get to the social club, we had to walk past Oxford Chiropractic Clinic. And we did that hundreds and hundreds of times. And it was an old house. It was actually owned by C.S. Lewis at one point in the 1920s. So big, impressive house, massive sign on the outside saying Oxford Chiropractic Clinic. And if I recall, it was kind of like dark British racing green kind of sign and just important embossed letters. I didn't know what a chiropractor was. I asked my dad and he was like, you know, I was mesmerized by it, drawn to it every time I passed it. And he said, oh, no, necks or backs. And we'd go out to the side walk of the social club and you'd see the lawn in the back garden. It was immaculate. It was like a bowling green. I was always drawn to it. And so I think it was universal saying, you know, come to us, be a chiropractor. But I'm young and I didn't hear the message. And it wasn't until I'd left school, got a job, then left my job and gone back to college to study sports science. That led to a series of injuries. The worst one, I was running up a hill, Headington Hill in Oxford, and saw my hip flexor really, really bad. Could barely walk or do any exercise for a couple of weeks just as I was about to do my course. But the funny coincidence is that very hill, C.S. Lewis was actually in 1926 going up that hill on a bus. And until then, he was an atheist. But he had his road to Damascus moment on that very hill. I saw my hip flexor. But that hip flexor led to a boatload of injuries that then led me to seeing a chiropractor who was teaching on the course. And then he convinced me to be a chiropractor. So that's how I got into it. I kept pulling my groin, kept pulling my hamstring. I've got chiropractic treatment. And the injuries are a thing of the past. And it was where physio and other therapies had failed. So I thought that was a bit of a weird coincidence.
That was your road to greatness, wasn't it, Austin?
That was the start. So the injuries, you know, they were a blessing. I just wish I'd suffered a little bit less and got the message sooner. And then I did a personal trainer course after, and then the personal training course and the sports science course got me onto McTimony. Degree. So it was so long ago that I applied via fax.
Wow.
A long time ago. So that was 2001. I remember I worked part-time in a chemist. It was a Sunday night, faxed them, had a meeting on the Thursday in Abingdon at the clock house opposite where our clinic is now. And they had an open day the next day and their lectures started on the Saturday. So within a week, I was at college, paid some fees and enrolled on a four-year chiropractic degree. And then I was working three jobs. So I was working a couple of nights and late in the chemist. I was working reception in the gym one night a week and then full-time in a health food store. And then it was a part-time degree. Met my wife the month later and then obviously burnt out. as you do, because there's only so many things you can juggle. I then took 16 months out, went back, and then it was a 5-year degree, and it was conditionally accredited, which I didn't know at the time. Got married halfway through the degree and managed to get my wife pregnant on the honeymoon. That wasn't planned. And then had a kid, and then less money coming in, another mouth to feed, and sort of struggled financially. Made some choices which weren't the best, which made things worse. And then 3 weeks before end of year three exams, the GCSE withdrew the conditional accreditation, and a third of our year quit, went to
To
Boston Trust
the
Colleges.
university, they
Yeah,
withdrew
they
the
withdrew it.
accreditation.
So we were no longer studying chiropractic after 3 years. So very stressful. And it got turned around, but it took another year and a third of my year leaving. So it caused maximum damage, and the college was very, very close to closing. During that time, just, my guardian angel was probably non-existent, on strike, needed sacking. I was involved in a car crash, so somebody blindsided us, went into central reservation on a bypass, and the car was written off. And then got a replacement car, and then 2 months later, my wife went to work, come back in a minute later, the car had been stolen, and then 2 days later, been found burnt out in a field. So just rotten luck after rotten luck.
That was round about the time that I think I got in touch with you. Do you remember that original
That
message that
was
I sent to you? I've never met you
probably
before. I just heard about the legend of Austin.
the phantom. And then, so we got the accreditation back after a year-long battle. But then by that time, money problems had started mounting up. And then in my final year, I went bankrupt. So I finished my degree, owing 2 years course fees, and couldn't officially graduate. In fact, I failed my clinic exit because I sat in as a new as a patient for one of my colleagues. He'd done all his clinic hours and patient numbers, new patient numbers. They let him do his exam early. He couldn't finish any early, but he could get out of the way. And they then, when it was my turn to do the exam, they gave me ex exact same questions. Well, I didn't revise them because I think my thought was they wouldn't be stupid enough to give me the same questions, would they? And they did. So the biggest exam of my life, I absolutely flunked it. So I retook it 2 months later, and I had a 2 FAFSA. So I took it absolutely off my nut on coding, and I'm really sensitive to it. So I was going in waves of like sickness, nausea, and then euphoria, just waves going up and down like this. Kaleem, he was the tutor, and he was absolutely grilling me. And it was capped at 40% because it was a retake. And I was thinking, oh, I've done enough, just let me pass. And he just kept grilling me, and I aced it. But I knew I owed 2 years' fees, and I wasn't gonna be able to practice anytime soon. So that was the most anticlimactic day of my life. I went to change from my tunic, get my regular clothes, and I just broke down crying. And I couldn't even have a beer to celebrate. I was on so many medications. I was on the one antibiotic you cannot drink on. So I went to Tesco and bought a microwave curry, and that was my celebration for passing.
It's tough times at university. It really is. I think
Oh, it is,
it's really
yeah.
brought us to such a strain, take you to new limits. And if you're in a relationship, it can strain relationships.
And then this is the Cliff Notes version of what happened. So I actually didn't know between when I finished and when I was allowed to practice and sort everything out and pay all the money off, it was another 11 years. In that time, there was a lot of crap. So my wife had two miscarriages, depression. I went bankrupt a second time in my life. Broke some ribs falling over, and then a couple of months later, I split my head open. It was a compression injury to my neck. I had shoulder surgery that left me with weakness in my lat and tricep on the same side. Went several years without being adjusted. Kind of just fell out of love with life and chiropractic. And to make it worse, the gym.
I've got to say, have to say this, Austin. That is the most miserable story I've probably ever heard. It's legendary in the, you couldn't make anything any worse than that.
I mean, it was testing times. And also the gym I managed, there was a load of McTimney students there, and each year they'd graduate. And I wasn't resentful, but I'm like, should have been me. Should have been me. And it was just like a dagger, in me. And that sucked. But then, life, then conspired in my favor. I was left some money, an inheritance, a small amount. I was able to pay my fees off. Now, luckily, I've always done a lot of CPD, whatever profession I've been in. And in 2019, at the age of 41, I was able to get GCC registered. So all the fitness related CPD I'd done, it met all the criteria and then some for the GCC's code, their COPS and SOPS. So registered and then broke down, cried. And then shouted so loud, I lost my voice.
The bit I think you've missed something out of your story. I'm lucky to know some parts of it, and that is, didn't you write a book?
I wrote a book on back pain. Yeah, so that was back in 2011, 2012. I went to Thailand. So things had started to get all right then. So I was using my knowledge. I wasn't a chiropractor, but getting a name in the fitness profession, in the fitness industry as a back pain guy. Wrote a book, which to pay for the trip to go to Thailand, I set up some back pain workshops, which were very popular. The first one I ever did had 9 people on. A couple of months later, I had 20 people on. And then that was when wife miscarried, and then everything just went downhill.
Yeah, I hope the story gets better. So you
It
obviously
does get better.
you eventually got your qualifications as a chiropractor. You got your degree. And what did you do then? Where did you work?
So we already had a treatment room in the gym that I managed above the clinic where we are now. And then not long after we opened the clinic where we are now, it was where, obviously you've been in, where all the consult rooms are and the staff room that wasn't there. We acquired that later. It was actually a yoga studio with a treatment room or an adjusting room at the back. And then,
So this is in Abingdon. So it's not just a chiropractic clinic, it's also a very successful gym in Oxfordshire.
so the gym's been there since 1998. So the boss, her fiance, opened it, and then she took over the running when she came on board. So started doing that, worked my absolute backside off, and then the week we opened
So
up,
sorry, I've
hired.
got to butt in again.
Yeah,
It
carry on.
say worked really hard. We all work really hard as when we're starting off with chiropractic, but Abingdon is pretty much filled full of it's filled full of chiropractors. So
Yeah, there's
you've
one
been
been
one of
there for about
many.
30 odd years. Yeah. And obviously, they've got the clinic at the college. So there's a lot of competition. And then, but I trained, I was like a man possessed. So we had the Kairos training culture, the McTimney one. So
Oh, so
it was.
you had Brett's people training
So,
within your
yeah.
clinic.
Well, not his people. We were doing some of the stuff with Brett and some of his guys online, but it was the McTimony Kairos training group. So it was led by students. So we trained in the back room where we run our seminars now. So a couple of hours, two days a week, we're in there doing our, physical preparation, our breath work, our meditation, and then going through setups, practicing our strikes. So I did that, didn't miss a day in 6 months. And then the week I opened the clinic, week I opened full time, I had 56 appointments booked in. So a lot of work went into it.
Okay. And so are you running courses there yourself?
Yes, started doing that. That was a long time coming, because there was a pandemic in the way. So 6 months to the day we opened the clinic, the pandemic happened. So 6 months into practice, the global pandemic shut us down. So testing times. So from my first start in my chiropractic journey to being able to register and practice, it was an 18-year journey. And then 6 months later, global pandemic, and we had to shut. You couldn't make it up. Do you remember the bad luck Brian meme?
Yes,
That's me. Waste 18 years to be a chiropractor and 6 months in as a global pandemic. But after the initial shock, I was like, do you know what? I waited 18 years for this. We didn't know how long it was going to take. It was 3 weeks to flatten the curve, wasn't it? It turned out to be a bit longer. But we shut for several weeks. I mean, several weeks compared to 18 years was nothing. That was a blip. But what I did in that time, got the initial panic out of the way, and then I went, right, I'm not gonna sink, gonna swim. I got my hands on everything I could, chiropractic philosophy. I was going on YouTube searching chiropractic philosophy. I was watching hours and hours of Arnaud Bernier, Tim Young, and just absolutely absorbing it. We opened back up, and then that was in. So we closed in March, opened back up first week of May, didn't do any advertising. And then got lots of referrals just from people knowing about us. And then 100% Roth conversion in that month, and everyone paid up front. And
Yes,
then
so
once I did this.
you've obviously, like I have, you've met and worked with Tim Young, and been trained with him, but with Arnaud Bernier as well. You've spent some time
No,
with him, or turn.
I was just watching his stuff online.
Yeah,
Just
but both of
watch.
them, I actually was fortunate enough to get the opportunity to interview them last month and the month before, so that they should be on this podcast as well very
Excellent.
shortly.
Good, good. Looking forward to that. Yeah, so closed for several weeks and a WTF moment. But then when things opened up, I trained like a man possessed. I've lost count. I think the last course I did was my 50th chiropractic event since coming out of lockdown. I went on every adjusting course possible, and pregnancy, pediatrics, obviously osseous adjusting, Syntropy multiple times, Tim Young, Minting Men's coaching group. What I did was went, who are the best in the industry? It's like, I'm going to go with them and learn off them, to the point where it's a bit of an obsession.
Yeah, it has been an obsession. It's been a lifetime, isn't it, of you doing this sort of thing. For me, I've been fortunate enough to do one of your courses, and you are a sweet adjuster, Austin. You know, it's lovely the way that you do it. I really enjoyed doing the course, and I'll be doing it again with you.
Oh, thank you. And I
It's
trained
very
really bloody
smooth,
hard to
and I
get to
can
that.
see where you picked up these different elements of your adjusting skills from all of these different legends. And so you're someone who is. Written a book, and now with these adjusting skills and all this experience, you've got more years of experience working with people's bodies and working at, possibly using some chiropractic skills than what people have who've probably been working about the same amount of time. So if you look at the sort of 2010, 2011, is that when you said that you were originally finished university? I'm just trying to get this time
No,
scale right.
so
It is unusual.
2008, February 2008, I passed my clinic, the retake of my clinic exit exam.
Yes, so looking at this, we've got 2008, 2018, 10, you know, it's sort of 18 years of experience. So hence the reason why these courses that you're running in Abingdon are so successful, and
Yeah, I
why
mean,
people are so happy when they've been
yeah.
doing it. What
Took me a
sort of
long
things are you
time.
trying to offer the world of chiropractic at the moment?
So we also, after the GCC proposed and then went ahead with it, that they were taking the word subluxation, innate intelligence, vitalism out of the teachings in the college, and then they wanted to take away the philosophy. We set up the Chiro Calling. So there was me, Lou Edwards, my boss, student Nadia, Rayaset. And then Jazz, we all got together and went, right, we need to do something about this. And then we got Donald Francis and Chris Harm on board. So six of us created the Chiro Calling. So we were bringing the philosophy back to chiropractors. We knew it was going to be big. I remember going back to work one Saturday afternoon, my wife saying, what are you going to work for? It's 3 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. I went, this is important. I don't know how big it's going to be, but I can see that this is going to snowball. So we advertised it. Straight away we sold about 20 tickets. So we charged like a tenner for the students, because if you don't charge, they don't turn up. but we don't make any money from it. In fact, we lose money because we sponsor students to go to UCA, Cairo Europe, etc. So we did that, and then we had chiropractor saying, "Hey, I don't want to attend this." So first one we did in Abingdon, we had 20 on it. The second one we did in a pub in London. We had about 30 odd. The next one was in Bournemouth. It was meant to be in someone's clinic, but it got so big we had to go to a local church. And we had 40 plus. The most recent one we did was in our clinic in the back room on November last year. And we had over 70 on there. We had Christina Cunliffe, our principal of McTominay there. Stu Bittman came over and spoke. We've had Mark Hudson from Cairo Europe talk. And then we've got one in a few weeks. Mark Hudson is coming again.
What is the date of
Last,
this? What's the date
this
of
is
this next
Friday the 15th. So Friday the 15th of
Cairo
March.
calling?
Yeah. So we've got Jim Chester of Cairo Hustle, biggest Cairo podcast in the world. He's coming over to talk. Lawrence Tam. I can't pronounced Jim. It's got a sort of Greek surname, Australian guy, and his wife Bettina. They're coming across as well. So big lineup. It's really snowballed, and people are taking note.
What's the date of it, Austin? What date is
So
this?
Friday the 15th of March in Abingdon.
And what's the cost of this as well? What cost are you going to put onto these tickets for the
It's
future?
15 for students. 60 for Cairos, but there's a £35 fee if you want to bring your spouse or sort of someone who isn't a chiropractor. But you can win prizes. Pretty much everyone, every student who attends wins something, whether it's adjusting seminars, Cairo Europe tickets, tickets to the UCA conference in October. So we give back. We don't make a penny from it. We give back in terms of out-of-pocket expense, time, seminars. So our aim is to really elevate the profession, bring the philosophy back, but also make the profession a better place.
The way that it's growing, you're going to be well outside of the convenience of working from the clinic soon, aren't you? Because
We're going to
if
need
you
a
move
bigger
from
boat.
40 to 70,
Yeah.
I expect that within the next, certainly by Christmas, you're going to be in 100 or 200. Just you're actually running another chiropractic opportunity for probably hundreds of people.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's snowballed. I mean, we knew we had the potential to be big, but I don't think we realized until we kept getting bombarded with messages from other chiropractors and chiropractors who are well established in the profession. They've been doing their own seminars for a number of years. We even got American chiropractors messaging us going, "Hey, anything we can do to help?" And we're like, "Oh, Lord, this is big." So really exciting times.
So, have you gone from being a, with your sports background, sort of a little bit more mechanistic? What's your philosophy these days? Where are you coming from
So yeah,
with
with our
how
sports
you
therapy
look at
background, sorry.
adjusting and how you see the body and how you see what chiropractic is doing to the body? What's your philosophy on all that?
So yeah, when I did my back pain workshops, they were for personal trainers and sports therapists. I did have chiropractors come on, but obviously it's mechanistic. I still had a kind of vitalistic bent, for want of another word, but it had to be like the physical stuff. And I was fortunate enough that when I was at college, the philosophy was top notch. And then by the time Lou left McTominay, she said it was okay. And then Jazz, who works with us, she didn't even know what a green book was by the time that she'd finished. So it had been watered down. So I, even though we had the accreditation problems, I was there when the philosophy was top notch. So yeah, it was a breath of fresh air. Very vitalistic, philosophy based, principle driven chiropractor now. And I get to do what I love. And as you know, I teach the philosophy on my adjusting course. So it's not just adjusting, it's bringing a philosophy, a little bit of science to it, but not like the evidence-based kind of, some kind of poo-poo everything, but a bit of evidence what the adjustment does from a neurological point of view, but steeped in philosophy. Then the approach is kind of honor the body. One of the things I say is your state is probably one of the biggest factors in healing. Even though the patient heals themselves, how you show up, how you interact with the client, your presence, you know, having that present time consciousness, that will also have an effect. And then the aim is to kind of be focused, present with the patient, very light touch approach to the analysis, and then light and fast, deep osseous adjustment. Does that make sense?
And with yourself, the students that are coming for your courses, where you were saying you're teaching the philosophy, etc. What types of skills are they learning with you? Is it more the sort of Tim Jung type stuff, or what, how would you
So I've
explain the
been
definition?
heavily sort of influenced by Syntropy and Tim Jung. Invested more time with those two than anyone else. So yeah, it's kind of my twist on that. And then there's some stuff I took away from Kairos. I've never done a Kairos training course per se, but still learned stuff off them. So it's my, because nothing, there's nothing new under the sun, is there? Unless you're like a Gonstead or Logan, and you're going to completely make up your own technique. It's a kind of amalgamation and my kind of twist on things. So, it's being present, very specific with your adjusting, honoring the body, most adjustments. I'm quite sensitive, quite a sensitive nervous system. I don't like a heavy handed, I love an osseous adjustment, but I don't like people being heavy handed. You've had them where you've been twisted and wrenched and basically manipulated, and it's not nice, is it? And my approach is there's an analysis. So there's biomechanics, there's what we call a biotensegrity analysis, which is all very light. That starts with putting the body at ease, and then a very specific, fast adjustment.
No, without doubt, it is a very specific fast adjustment. Do you think you'll be writing a book or upgrading the book that you wrote
I'll write another book.
10, 15 years ago?
The other one I did start, I looked at it during the lockdown, and then went, nah, I need something different. I could have made it better, but it's like, no, I've done that. I want something. It's quite weird how you asked that, because I was only thinking about it this week. So got to do it now. But I will write another book at one point, at some
So
point.
this book that sounds like you're going to be writing, where will you be? What will you be directing it into? I don't want to know all the details. That would take all the magic away. But what sort of book are you thinking about writing this time?
That's the thing. So I've got a million things that I could do. So at the moment, I'm learning more about the neurology of what happens when we adjust, or when you receive an adjustment. But I kind of want to make it tie it in with chiropractic philosophy. I'm sure as I start writing things down, it will morph into what it needs to. As you typically, when you've got an idea in your head of what you're going to do, it then takes on a life and a new direction of its own.
And with yourself, Oz, how do you see the your business growing? Are you going to stay in Abingdon? What are you going to move away? Do you think you'll carry on with the success of where you're working at the moment? Because you're working with Louise Edwards at present, and it's a very, very successful clinic. Like I said before, it's bang right in the center of quite literally. It's one of the busiest chiropractic centers, I think. Plus, you've got the university there as well in Abingdon. But I'm just wondering what your future is. Are you going to carry on there as a senior chiropractor? What are you thinking?
So short term, Lou does the day one, day two, patient communication seminar, and then the same weekend I do the philosophy and art of full spine adjusting. So they seem to be working very well. So short term, obviously, as well as serving my patients, is to push those. So my aim is, I want to, by the time I'm, my aim is to never retire. I could never imagine not adjusting. So I'm gonna do this chiropractic thing until, the day I drop or my pisiforms fall off. So my aim is, to make the profession better off, for me being in it. if that makes sense. And if I was to move, I think I'd move abroad. Fancy somewhere
Yes,
warm.
so probably like me, you believe that the chiropractic profession is going through the roof at the moment. You know, that we're getting more and more clients and referrals coming through within our clinic, and it seems to be the same with my other friends throughout the country. Why do you think chiropractic has become so successful?
I think the pandemic helped. You see, I mean, the NHS is in a right state. I mean, you can't even just pop in to make an appointment. You have to go in a queue. I mean, I'm fortunate enough that I've not been to my GP in 8 years. But you can't get a doctor's appointment for love nor money. And then, physios don't touch people anymore. They don't even assess them. They just go, okay, you've got shoulder pain. Here's some cookie cutter exercises. And people like that connection. People crave it. We're social mammals. And then the pandemic hit and people lost that connection. The very thing that we crave, social bonding, was taken away. And the thing that you want to connect with was another human, was the thing that was going to spread the most deadly virus known to man to you. So we stayed, we were allowed to work the majority of the pandemic, with PPE, but we could still connect with people, still touch. I think people liked that. And I think slowly, people are seeing that, the scandemic for what it was. Even the average person is going, this doesn't make sense. The chiropractors on the whole were quite vocal. They were anti-lockdown, questioning the vaccine. And I think people are slowly coming around to that. And, it's probably social media as well. You get lots of videos online. People are seeing all the cracking videos. And even the ones where they don't look good, they're still 90% positive comments. There's probably a multitude of factors why it's more popular than.
Yeah, I mean, like, so we're both in perfect agreement there that chiropractic has been a very busy profession and become busier and busier year on year. But there are some chiropractors out there that are suffering, and very, very few. And when I've looked at them and I've tried to help them, I've realized there's a few things that they're not doing correctly. They're not seeing the philosophy. They're not understanding what people need as well as they should. But with the course that you're running at the moment in Abingdon with Louise Edwards, what do you think your courses can offer to these people to actually help them turn their business around?
That's the thing. It's the chiropractors, there was the same pandemic in every city. We had a local chiropractor. We'd been open months. We shut for 5 weeks full time, opened 2 weeks part time. We'd been open like 3 months and he's still doing videos online going, oh, I don't know when I can open again, but as soon as I can, it's like you can open the minute you decide to open. But a lot of chiropractors, they don't believe in chiropractic. They've got lots of stuff they add on. But the adjustment is everything. It's a, I mean, you're touching, when you adjust someone, you're touching their soul. I mean, the whole purpose of chiropractic is to connect man the physical with man the spiritual. It's everything. So it's a soul to soul connection. And you amplify life. You do a specific intent, well-intentioned adjustment. You amplify life. And a lot of people, a lot of chiropractors, they don't get that. And they're the ones that tend to suffer. And it's a travesty because we've got this amazing healing profession. And a lot of some of the chiropractors, they don't believe in it. And they think the philosophy is, oh, that's old. It doesn't matter. It's not of any importance anymore. But it underpins the adjustment and the philosophy is what separates us from other professions.
Bit of
Completely
an unusual
underpins.
question for you, Roz, but when you've got a new client coming to see you, and they haven't been referred, so they've just sort of they have a spine problem, maybe it's a neck, maybe it's lumbars, they've got pain as far as they're concerned. There's something going wrong with it. With yourself, how do you explain to them what's actually going on and how the nervous system is being changed with an adjustment?
So you have to use simple layman's terms. You don't want to confuse people, but your brain is communicating with every cell in your body via the nervous system. And then if joints are not moving properly, there's too much stress in that joint, and that interferes with that brain to body, body to brain communication. And then with that, we can see symptoms, and that can be pain, it could be numbness, it could be digestive issues. So you communicate in a way that, use 5-year-old simple terms, and people get that. And my job is to find the area of the most stress, adjust that joint, take that stress off it, and do it often enough so we restore motion and maintain it, and allow the brain to body to the brain and the body to communicate again.
Have
So
you
my
got any really
job.
good examples of this where you've had a client come to see you with problems with their body, and there's been something amazing has actually happened when you've done the adjustment?
Very early in practice, somebody, they turned up for their third adjustment, so they'd only adjusted them twice. And she says, "Can chiropractic help with hearing loss?" And I was like, "Absolutely, that's what the profession was founded on." Told her the story of Dee Dee and Harvey Lillard. She said, "Since I've had this," she went, "I was diagnosed by a specialist with 40% loss of hearing. My hearing's perfect now." And that was with two adjustments. I had another guy, he was an instructor in the gym, and he couldn't consciously flex his left pec, lat, rhomboid, bicep, or tricep. If he did the right side, you could flex it, you could feel it, it was a flex muscle, but it kind of just felt semi-flexed on the other side. So he'd constantly try and flex it, but nothing would really happen. He'd had nerve conduction stunners, and he'd had cancer twice in the past. He'd had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. So the doctor said, "Oh, yeah, that's nerve damage from the chemo." And you're like, "But this chemo would have been whole body. Why did it not damage the other side?" And I remember setting him up, and it was C2 on the left, and the CA just happened to be in the room at the same time. And that thing exploded. That was probably still to this day the best adjustment I've ever given. And the CA's head spun like the Exorcist, the girl in the Exorcist. She turned around. He saw God. And it was weird. The room, you could palpate the atmosphere in there. And he's there for a few minutes on the bench when I'm shaking. Then he gets up and bang, every muscle that you couldn't previously contract came on, bang, like that. The C2 doesn't go to any of those. The nerve root from C2 doesn't go to any of those muscles, other.
So, in your opinion, what actually happened there when you adjusted that
I changed
cervical,
the
that
brain.
second cervical in the within the neck?
So we changed the brain. The adjustment affects the brain. So I removed the interference. So I wasn't treating any of that. It was like he was subluxed C2. I adjusted that, changed the brain, and the brain could communicate with his body again, and everything came back online. So when I'm adjusting someone, I'm not treating anything. My job is simple. It's to remove interference. The perfect example of this is if you remove interference, the body will heal, or designed to heal. If it wasn't, you'd have died from the first time you ever had a paper cut, wouldn't you? You'd have bled out. But I had shoulder surgery back in 2016. I had a lipoma the size of an egg. So had it surgically removed, 3 layers of internal stitching. But it started to heal apart from one part because some of the stitches were poking up. But the body is intelligent. There's an innate intelligence in the body. It didn't go, "Right, I'm just going to heal around that stitch sticking out." There was interference there, and the wound remained open. And then eventually, what I did, I got some tweezers. I pulled the stitches up, snipped them, and they went back down. And then a few days later, that wound healed. So, what did I do? I removed the interference, and then the body healed.
So you're
So,
saying that the body was reacting to something that was foreign, a foreign object in
exactly.
it, and only when you removed it that could actually heal around it.
So I rem it didn't. It wouldn't heal around it. It's not like it went, "Okay, scar," and we just let the stitches stick out. There's an intelligence there that said there's interference there. I'm not going to heal until that interference is gone. I took the interference away by cutting the stitch. A couple of days later, it started to heal over, and that's what I do with chiropractic. We find the interference in the spine, and the body will heal. So even
That's
when someone
beautifully
comes in with
explained,
pain.
Austin. Listen, it's been really amazing having you on. Whenever we speak, I'm always full of gratitude. Thank you. I'd hope you'll come back on again. If we leave it, probably 6 months,
Yeah,
I've got a funny
absolutely.
feeling there might be a book that might have started. And I'll, if you do the book, I'll be one of the first people to buy it, Austin. There's no doubt about that. But I want to thank you very much for taking the time out to come on the show.
My
If you've
pleasure.
enjoyed the podcast, then please like, share, subscribe. That'd be great. Austin, thank you very much for coming on.
It's been a real pleasure, Alan.